Matthew chapter 1 tonight, and we'll be there momentarily. We will eventually be back in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John sometime after the holidays, back sometime the first of the year there in January. But, of course, this is the Christmas season. And, again, it's one of my favorite times of year. My favorite season, really. And over the last several weeks, I have been looking at the birth account of Christ from several different angles. And, you know, I don't know about you tonight, but, you know, last Wednesday, I was gone. I was taking my dad home to Philly. And then, of course, Sunday, the heat situation. So we haven't had a chance to gather here now in over a week. And I'm glad that we get to be able to do that again tonight, that we get to come together and worship a little bit and fellowship and share prayer needs and prayer concerns and pray for one another and just gather together again for that corporate worship that is it's really needed in the life of the believer. We really need church as a Christian. And you know, one of the joys of Christmas is that sense of togetherness that, you know, we feel as, you know, we celebrate with friends, we celebrate with our families, as a community, as a church. And, you know, whether this Christmas finds you gathering with loved ones, maybe you'll have a big family get together, maybe you'll have a lot of friends over, or maybe you'll just experience a quiet holiday. I know for Mandy and I, last year, you know, we used to have a tradition, and it started really our first year of marriage, because at that time, the first new Star Wars movie was coming out. And so we found a diner somewhere. We went to a diner for dinner, and then we went and we saw the new Star Wars movie. And well, last year, we didn't do anything on Christmas Day. We stayed home. We exchanged a couple gifts, and Mandy made a Christmas dinner last year. Because of course, on Thanksgiving last year, I was in the hospital, and so I didn't get to have turkey or sweet potatoes or mac and cheese or anything that they cooked. So it was just her and my dad for Thanksgiving last year, and so we did a whole another kind of Thanksgiving Christmas dinner, just her, Mandy and I there at the house. And then after that was all said and done, we just, that was it. We did nothing else all day on Christmas Day last year. And so, you know, again, whether you're going to have a busy Christmas or whether you're just going to have a quiet holiday, you know, I hope that you'll remember just what the message of Christmas is all about. And I want us to see one of those messages from just three little words that we find here in Matthew. And look there, if you would, chapter 1 and beginning at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20, down through verse number 23. The Bible says, "But while he," this of course being Joseph, "thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a child, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And for a few moments here tonight, that's just the thought I want us to see and study for just a few moments tonight. That thought from those three little words, God with us. God with us. And there's three thoughts in particular I want to give us tonight. And the first thought is this, and that is that God left heaven to be with us. God left heaven to be with us. We think about the question every year, really, around this time of year, and that is, why did Jesus, because you think about heaven tonight. You think about the glories of heaven. You think about the majesty of heaven. You open your Bible, you read about heaven, which, by the way, when you open your Bible and you read about heaven, I don't believe that will begin to do justice for just how beautiful heaven's going to be, or just how majestic heaven's going to be, or just what we have in store for us when we get to heaven someday. I believe the Bible just gives us a glimpse of what we're going to experience when we get to heaven someday. And we think, well, if heaven is so great, then why did Jesus leave the glories of heaven to be born as a baby in Bethlehem? Well, of course, we know the answer to it. And the answer to it is very simple. The answer to it is very easy, but yet his life's mission was not so simple. His life's mission was not so easy. Because to put it simply, Jesus was born to die. That's why he was born. He was born to lay down his life, so that through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, as the Bible says here in verse number 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, he came to seek you and to save you. He came to seek me and save me. Because without Jesus, you were lost. And without Jesus, I was lost. And he came seeking after us. And what we need to understand is that our sin separates us from God's presence. We cannot, in our natural sinful state, even enter into the presence of God, because he is a holy, righteous God. The Bible tells us, Isaiah 59 and verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. So, you know, you think tonight, even if we consider ourselves to be a good person when compared to others, and maybe that's true. I mean, we turn on the news and we see things and people, and we see the worst of humanity sometimes when we put on the news. We hear the worst things that people do to other people, and we look at that and we think, you know what? Compared to those people, I'm not so bad. Compared to them, I'm a good person. Well, even if that's the case, the truth still remains that we could never be good enough to meet God's standard of holiness. Romans 3:23, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, he left heaven to be with us. But then thought number two, with that thought number one in mind, that he left heaven to be with us, then that means that there is good news for you. There is good news for you. See, when Jesus came to earth and when Jesus was born, Jesus was fully human. Yet, at the same time, he was fully God. And he made his home among us. And for 33 and a half years, this God-man would live a perfect life, innocent of any wrong. And it was his perfect innocence that qualified him, and qualified him alone, by the way, to withstand God's judgment in our place. And so we look at Jesus and we see that he went to the cross. And when we look at the cross and we see that he died on the cross, we see that he took upon himself the penalty for our sin. 1 Peter 3:8, the Bible says, Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, because Jesus was fully God, the grave could not hold him. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead, having conquered death and sin and the world and the devil and everything else that you and I would do battle with over the course of our life. And he conquered everything that could keep us separated from God. He defeated every single thing that the devil could possibly put in our way to keep us separated from God. All year long, churches all over, this is the message they preach. And people are searching for this truth. They are searching for the answer to the question, well, how can we be brought into a relationship with God? Whether or not they know it or not, they're searching for something that can fulfill that hole in their life. And it's simple. All we have to do is recognize who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Lord of all creation, and then turn to him in faith, trusting his perfect sacrifice to pay the debt of our sins, and then call out to him and ask him to save them. Romans 10:9, the Bible tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so, we see that God left heaven to be with us. And since he left heaven to be with us, there's good news for us. But then the third truth that I want us to see tonight is to answer the question, God with us? God with us? And so... we've seen tonight that he left heaven to be with us. We see why he left heaven to be with us. And that if we'll put our faith and our trust in him, he will do just that. He'll come and he'll be with us. And he'll be with us for all of eternity. And when you do that, when you have put your trust in Jesus, that is when he truly becomes, as Matthew 1:23 says, God with us. He lives in your heart so you can begin to comprehend his love for you. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, And notice there, if you would, verses 17 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, the Bible says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And so we see, how do we get God to be with us? How do we get God and through Christ to dwell in us? It's by faith. Why? That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. And here's what happens. When Christ is in us and we are in Christ and we are rooted and grounded in His love. Verse number 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So here's what it is this evening. When you have God with you, and when you are with God, and you have accepted Him in your hearts by faith, you become rooted, you become grounded in His love, so that you then might understand, that's what that word comprehend means, that you might then understand with all saints, in other words, with all fellow believers, with all fellow Christians, that you might understand just how vast the love of Christ is. And I love that phrase in verse number 19, which passeth knowledge. How many people have you heard or have heard of, or perhaps you've been guilty of thinking it or saying it yourself at one time or another by saying, I just don't understand how God could love me. You look back on things you've done in your life. You look back on things that, those people, they look back on things that they've done in their life, and they can't comprehend that the God of heaven, the God of all creation, would send His Son to die on a cross to love them. And here the Bible says, well, once you have God with you, you're going to know the love of Christ, and it's going to pass all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, that hole that you once had in your hearts, that hole that you once had in your lives, now that you have God with you, you're going to have all the understanding in the world that yes, God loves you. And that God loved you so much, He was willing to send and give His Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And so when we have God with us and He lives in our heart, we begin to comprehend His love for us. When you feel alone, He promises to never leave us. Look, if you would, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I couldn't think of a better verse, especially around Christmas time, than this verse right here. Because I'm well aware, listen, I love Christmas. I love the holidays. It starts back in October for us. Our tree goes up. Our decorations go up. And I love, you know, I go home at night after doing my work during the day, and I'll sit on the couch with the lights out, with the TV on, watching a little bit of TV, sitting by the light of the Christmas tree. I love that. And now, thanks to Brother George, I have a big wooden Christmas tree in front of the TV with a candle that comes on every night at a certain time, goes off at a, so I'm surrounded by Christmas lights. I love Christmas. But I'm also aware of the fact that around this time of the year, there are people out there that for them it's just another day. For them, Christmas doesn't bring joy. It brings sadness, whether it's because of the passing of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, a friendship, whatever the case may be. Not everybody loves Christmas. Years ago, my pastor, he used to, I've continued it to this day because he helped me to understand that not all holidays are special to certain people. And I remember when I was younger, I didn't understand why he did it. I just remember reading in the bulletin. So on Mother's Day, and it's like we do around here, we give out gifts to the ladies. Well, I got that from him. But in the bulletin, instead of just calling it Mother's Day, he would call it Mothers and Others Day. And I remember seeing that as a young kid, and you know, again, I didn't think anything of it, didn't know why he did it that way, but then going on, I remember one Sunday I was teaching Sunday school, and I had the teens, and it was Mother's Day, and so obviously I was teaching a Mother's Day themed lesson. Well, one of the teenage girls, she got up out of the class and she just left, and she was crying, and I didn't know why. And so I left the class, and she was out there in the hallway, and I sat on one of the window ledges, and I talked to her. And well, it turns out that her mom had passed away. And this was a time of year she was always struggling with. And so then it finally clicked with me why my pastor did that. Mothers and Others Day, because there were maybe ladies who either they couldn't have kids, there were maybe daughters who had lost their moms, or so we realize that these holidays, that while they may be joyous for us, they may not be so joyous for others. And yet here we have this promise of God here in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm thankful for that promise this evening. That sometimes, and listen, this time of year, I guarantee you there are people that might feel alone out there. If only they could get a hold of this promise that God gave them, that I will never leave them, or I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it's a promise to the child of God. First, God must be with them. They must trust Christ as their Savior. And listen, it may not be a joyous holiday for them, and they might not yet know Christ, but guess what? We could take the gospel to them, they could get saved, and they could see this promise and other promises of God in Scripture, and then a day like Christmas that hasn't been so joyous, well, now because they have the promises of God, it can once again become a joyous, happy day. And so again, I can think of no better verse than this verse. And not only because of that, but because of the first part of the verse too. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Again, you've heard me use the illustration of, you know, we have people, they line up for the latest iPhones and the latest gadgets and all the rest. Again, acutely aware. Man and I, we love Christmas. We're going to exchange gifts this year. But again, we realize that there are, you know, maybe those who won't be able to exchange gifts. I remember the first year, or one of the first years, Amanda and I were married, and she sent me to Walmart for something. We were down in Texas visiting her mom for Thanksgiving, and then we were going to go to Philly to see my dad, and she sent me to Walmart for something. And, well, that's a big mistake, sending me by myself, because I went to Walmart by myself. Then we had a little restaurant in Kerrville called Culver's. And so I went to Culver's first, and then I went to Walmart. And so at that time, she was, you know, she always kept, you know, she would look at the bank, you know, the bank app and say, she would message. She messaged me, said, "Why are you at Culver's?" I said, "Well, I was hungry. Why else do you go to a restaurant? Because you're hungry." And so I went to Culver's, then I went to Walmart, and I wound up spending about $200 at Walmart. Well, what she sent me for was not going to be $200. But at Walmart, they had the angel tree. And so I started looking at the angel tree, and I found one of the trees and one of the kids. And you know, some of these angel tree, you know, kids, you know, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older and I don't understand kids as much as I used to, or what the case is, but I look at some of the angel tree requests and I say, I have no idea what this is. I have no idea how to even begin shopping for this. But I found a kid that I understood what he wanted. So I took that off the angel tree, and I started going around Walmart. And I started just filling up the cart with things for the angel tree for this kid, so we could take it to Salvation Army before we left Texas. And so she calls me up, and I told her I'm on my back. She says, "What did you spend $200 on?" And I said, "Don't worry. It was for a good cause." And so I told her the cause, and it was all well and good. And so I was just over here at the hospital a couple weeks ago, and they have the angel tree set up in the cafeteria over there at the hospital. And so, again, I went through, and again, some of the new toys and new things kids want today, I have no idea what they want half the time. But I found this one kid. He wants graphic novels and comic books. Well, I can do graphic novels and comic books. I know graphic novels and comic books. I know Batman and Spider-Man and Superman and all the rest. And so I took that. I tucked it inside the one book I had. And so I have that sitting up there on my desk at the house. And so here eventually I got to go out and get a couple comic books and maybe a Funko Pop or two and take it over the Salvation Army. In fact, I got to see when that's due because, well, Christmas is getting here pretty quick. And so, but when we have God with us and when we feel alone, we have this promise to never leave us or forsake us. And you know, listen, you know, you say, "Well, I just never got a lot of gifts, or I'm not getting a lot of gifts." Listen, be content with what you have. You have God, you have Jesus, and if you have your friends and your family, hey, that should be enough. That should be all that you need. But then we see that when you feel lost, we see that He will be your guide. Look, if you would, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and notice here, if you would, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You see, when you have God with you, there will be times, even as a Christian, you feel lost, but He will be there to be your guide. Then we see number next, when you're hurting, He will comfort you. When you're hurting, He will comfort you. Look, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You know, when God is with you, and again, as a Christian, just because we're Christians, it doesn't take away the hurts of life. But when God is with you, He'll be the one there to comfort you. And we see here that when He comforts us, He does so that we then might be able to in turn comfort them which are in any trouble. You know, how many times have you had somebody come and help you through a difficult time in life? Or how many times have you had somebody come and give you an encouraging word and you knew them to be a Christian? Well, that was God using them to comfort you. And especially around this time of year, maybe there's somebody you can go and be a comfort to. Maybe there's somebody you can go and be an encouragement to. And see, that's how we fulfill the love of God. But not only that, we see next that when you're tempted, He will make a way of escape. Look, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice here, if you would, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able." Ever hear the phrase, "God will never give you more than you can handle"? Well, that's where we get that thought. That's where we get that principle. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, sometimes when we're tempted and we fall into temptation, we say, "Well, Satan made me do it." Or sometimes we say, when we're tempted, we're tempted to think and say that to somebody else, "Well, you don't know what it's like to be tempted. You've never been tempted." Well, here the Bible does away with both of those arguments, because He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." In other words, every man, every person, every believer has been tempted. Everybody deals with temptation. But then He says, "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." In other words, God gives you a way out of that temptation. He gives you that door, so to speak, to walk through and get away from that temptation. And when you're tempted, He will make a way of escape. When you're afraid, we see that He will be your peace. When you're afraid, He will be your peace. Look, if you would, John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And notice, if you were there, verse number 27. The Bible says, "Peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Again, as a Christian, and again, sometimes as Christians, we think that we're never to feel alone or lost or hurting or afraid or tempted, or as we'll see in our last point, or weak. But listen, as a Christian, you'll face all of those things. But yet, when you're afraid, we see that you can have that peace given by God that passes all understanding. And then finally tonight, when God is with you, when you're weak, He will be your strength. When you are weak, He will be your strength. Look, if you would, final portion of Scripture tonight, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and notice there, if you would, verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Yes, tonight, Jesus Christ truly became God with us. And He did so by leaving heaven to come to us. And because He did that, we have good news that we can put our faith and our trust in Him. And if we have put our faith and our trust in Him, then we can certainly comprehend His love. We can know that when we feel alone or feel lost or hurting or afraid or tempted or weak, that we have His promises to never leave us, that He'll be our guide, that He'll comfort us, that He'll be our peace, that He'll make a way of escape, and that He will be our strength. And so, yes, tonight, with Jesus Christ in our hearts, we can celebrate the joy of Christmas every day of our lives, no matter what comes our way. Because at the end of the day, if we're believers in Him, we're not alone. We have Him because He is God with us. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Isn't that a great truth tonight? That we are His and He is ours. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Not only did He become God with us, but He is with us every step of our journey. From the time we got saved till the time we step into eternity, and even in eternity future, He'll be with us for all of eternity. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Let's stand together to our feet.